It is another Saturday in CCUN where we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning to you, Jack.
Good morning, Denny. I am calling you from outside of Beaune, France, where our family is here for a family week vacation. And we're way out in the country, so I apologize if the connection is a little on the weak side. But this is, of course, one of my favorite places in the entire world. We were trying to figure out over time and tide how many times I've been here, and it must be over 75. And every time I've been here, it's been better than the last. Hello?
Yes, fantastic. And you sound good, Jack.
And every time I've been here, it's been better than the last. Hello?
Yes, fantastic. And you sound good, Jack.
Oh, okay, great. I was worried that it disconnected because we're out in the countryside at a manor house, and the connection isn't always the best. It fades in and out. But Burgundy is my favorite place in the entire world for wines. It's sort of simple. There's really only two grape types, Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. They have a couple others. They do a little Gamay here, which is another red grape type, and they do a little Bourgogne à la Gautée, which is another white type. But principally, we're dealing strictly with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And Burgundy has such a marvelous, marvelous history. The Dukes of Burgundy were more powerful and better known than the Republic of France, or the monarchy of France, for centuries, and controlled most of Europe. And were very, very powerful. And wherever they went, they brought their wine with them because Burgundy wine is really so good. It was good then and it's good today. As a matter of fact, of all the vineyard areas in the world you visit, Burgundy is probably the oldest with any regulatory type of thing. Going back to the 5th century, they had regulations on producing wine. And actually, what a fascinating place to come to. The city of Beaune is an old Burgundian capital, and it's been preserved beautifully. It's a UN landmark, so they can't change any of the outside on any of the buildings in all of Beaune, in the very center, the walled city. And that's just like walking through a medieval town. It's so marvelous. And, of course, speaking of medieval towns, on the plaza is the famous Hospice de Beaune, which is the Hospital of Beaune. And it was built by a tax collector in the 1480s. And they said he built it for the poor people because he made so many of them poor collecting those taxes. And there's probably some truth to that. But at any rate, you can walk through and see a medieval hospital. And for years and years and years, going back to the onset, it has been supported by wine. The wine auction every year, which is in November, that many of you have heard me air on the air calling from there, supports the hospital and also sets the prices for Burgundy for the entire world. So it's an important event here in Burgundy. And today, of course, is Saturday, market day. This morning we went through the markets here, and I'm telling you, unless you've ever been to a French market, you've never really seen a real market. It is incredible. They have hundreds of different types of terrines and sausages, every kind of food imaginable, the freshest of produce, etc. It's just great fun. Bakeries have carts in the. It's like a farmer's market on steroids. It's just unbelievable all the things they have here. You could wander around that market for 5 hours and never be one bit bored, and you see more fun things. They even have a few bands around the play, which we do at some of the farmers markets in Minnesota as well. But it really is a festive thing, and you're not only enjoying the scenery, the food is remarkable. Burgundian food is just the best. The other day, we were asked to an old friend of mine to celebrate how many years we've been getting together, and they provided a Burgundian lunch that was just unbelievable and simple. The first course was poached eggs that are poached in red wine, and then they add a little lard on to them. Lard on is unsmoked bacon. And I'll tell you, boy, those poached eggs are just absolutely delicious. And that was the starter. Then they served beef bourguignon. They did beef cheeks, Charlet beef cheeks, in wine with onions and mushrooms and things like that. Just absolutely delicious. And then, of course, a little bit of cheese. And they did we had a new experience. They did kind of a foam of a Poisson cheese. And Poisson is the cheese of Burgundy. And an old, old favorite of mine. And I never had it like this. They actually make a foam, I think. They blend the cheese with a little cream and whip it up. It's almost like a cold soup. You get a little cup of it. And my, that was delicious. And then, of course, for desserts, they have the freshest peaches. And they're just coming into production right now from southern France. And they did a peach tart, which, again, I close my eyes and think about it. It was absolutely wonderful. And that's so common here, all those wonderful dishes that you get to have when you travel. And it's so different from home and yet comfortable. And like I say, the Burgundy itself is a very interesting wine area. It isn't one of the bigger wine areas in the world, but certainly is one of the most influential. Because anybody that grows Pinot Noir wants to know about Burgundy, and they send people here. So as you go around Burgundy, it's almost a kaleidoscope of different people. Burgundy's divided. It's called the Côte d'Or, the Golden Slope. When you come here in the fall, the leaves are all a beautiful golden yellow color, and it looks like solid gold from a distance, the Golden Slope. And the Golden Slope is divided into two sections, the Côte de Beaune, which is the southern section, and the Côte de Nuit, which is the northern section. And sort of interesting, the Côte de Beaune, the southern section, Chardonnay is more prominent. And then in the Côte de Nuit, Pinot Noir is more prominent. And the prices are all over the block. You can buy an inexpensive little Pinot Noir for probably $15, $20. And you can buy a bottle of Latoche for several thousand dollars. And it's all in the terroir. And it's kind of interesting, you know, the monks of the Roman Catholic Church really were very, very influential in vineyards all over the world, but particularly here. In fact, one of the most famous places here is called Clos Vougeot, and it was the first big walled vineyard in the entire world. And it's highly regarded here in France. As a matter of fact, no less a personage than Napoleon ordered that the troops, as they march by Clos Vougeot, have to salute, because it's a wonderful French landmark. And they still do. And it's sort of interesting, because I think it's the only inert landmark that causes soldiers to salute. And it was Napoleon's favorite wine, and he bestowed that honor on it, and they continue to have it today. And this Clos Vougeot is also the mother house of a wine society that's quite famous the world over, called the Chevalier du Tocnon, the Knights of Wine. And it was it's supposedly a medieval society, etc. No one knows much about the medieval part of it, but we know that in 1954, they decided to resuscitate the society. And since 54, it's a very, very prominent part of Clos Vougeot. They maintain all of Clos Vougeot, and it's kind of a living museum. You see the presses of the Dukes of Burgundy. They've been around for a long, long time, and they're huge. They had to be hewn from oaks that were at least 4 or 5 feet in diameter. And those presses, of course, are no longer used, but they're kept in pretty good condition right there at Clos Vougeot, and you can wander through and see it all. And if you're lucky enough, you can get invited by a chevalier to the dinner at Clos Vougeot. They have about 15 of them a year, one almost every month. And they're big black tie dinners, and they're very gala with singing and music, et cetera, et cetera. They're black tie, and the food is extraordinary, 5-6 courses, et cetera. But I think you can see from my conversation, I do like Burgundy. And Burgundy is like I say, to me, the greatest expression of Chardonnay comes from right here, and the greatest expression of Pinot Noir also comes from right here. That doesn't mean I don't love American Pinot Noir or Pinot Noirs from other parts of the country. Some of our Pinot Noirs in the United States, particularly those from Oregon, are absolutely fantastic. But there's nothing like a real good Pinot Noir from Burgundy. And the same thing is true with the Chardonnay. You can have wonderful Chardonnays from all over the world, but until you've ever tasted a Montrachet from Le Montrachet, you just never, ever experience the awesomeness of the Chardonnay grape and how great and good it could be. At any rate, all these things are the reason we're here. We're here for a week, really celebrating as a family, significant birthday. And if you come here to visit, you won't be disappointed. You cannot really get a bad meal in the town of Bone, and you can walk around it for a couple of days, this medieval time. It reminds me a little bit of Bruges in Brussels, where it was also part of the Dukes of Burgundy. And there's these wonderful colored tiled roofs, etc. You really know you're in the heart of wine country when you're here. And as I said, the Catholic Church had a lot to do with all this, because these monks, they built Clos-Vougeot, which was a Cistercian monastery, and they were the first ones to discover terroir. The grapes grown in one part of the Clos-Vougeot produce better wine than grapes grown in the other part. And they really didn't know anything about terroir, but they knew which was better, and it reflected in the price. If you have holdings on the upper part of Clos-Vougeot as opposed to the lower part, you've got a higher price for your wine. And that was, of course, important then. It's important today. But that's still true. And so these monks, the Cistercian monks, had an awful lot of influence in the wine world in those days. They made most of the wine, etc. They did this discovery, all those things. And then, of course, the French Revolution came along, and they divided up Clos-Vougeot, and it's now owned by about 80 different owners, have little parcels of Clos-Vougeot, and it still makes wonderful wine. And speaking of Clos-Vougeot and wonderful wine, when I mentioned we had beef bourguignon, what I neglected to mention was the red wine we had with it was a Pommard. And Pommard's a little more rustic in the way it's made. And so, therefore, with beef bourguignon, which is a rustic dish, kind of a country dish, not so sophisticated, that Pommard went just beautifully with it. It's a joy to be here. And, you know, what we do here is we're scouting out all the time for great wine values to bring to people in Minnesota. So you don't have to come here. Although if you have the opportunity, I wouldn't pass it up. As I said, it's one of my favorite places in the entire world. And I've been fortunate enough at least to go to every wine producing area in the world, including Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, goes on and on. But this is my favorite place because I think you feel close to the soil. I remember when I first came here and shook hands with a vineyard, it was like shaking hands with a lobster. His hand was so calloused, and I thought, that man works very hard for a living. The wine he produces must be pretty good. And indeed it was. And today, of course, they aren't working as hard because we have automation and things like that, and they don't have to do so much of the work by hand. But it's interesting to see that how profitable the area has become and how prosperous this area of Burgundy is. You know, it used to be, when I first started to come here so many decades ago, if they got a new washing machine, they'd take you out and show it to you. They were so proud to have a washing machine. Of course, today they have Mercedes-Benzes in the driveway, and a new washing machine to even talk about would be an embarrassment. But that's how the things have changed. And Burgundy has gotten, good Burgundy from here has gotten very expensive. But indeed, if you want to try the most wonderful example of Pinot Noir, you really have to try a good Burgundy. You won't be disappointed. All the reds, as I said, are Pinot Noir, most of the whites are Chardonnay. Today, you're seeing a little more of this Bourgogne Aligoté because it's inexpensive. But here, what they use the Aligoté for is making Cure. And Cure is a very popular drink in France. And what it is a little cassis added to some dry white wine. And the white wine is usually Bourgogne Aligoté. And I'm going to look forward to talking to everybody again next week from Beaujolais.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Jack, you said it earlier. You don't have to travel. Just head to any one of the Haskell's locations.
Indeed. The folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. And believe me, if they know any area, they know Burgundy. So if you want to try one of these wonderful Burgundies, stop in and see the folks at Haskell's. And they'll help you contact with Burgundy that won't break the bank and will complement beautifully whatever you're having. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in the bank and will complement beautifully whatever you're having. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington. There's one in Excelsior right off of the Excelsior dock. In Faribault off at 35W, our super cellar in Maple Grove is not to be missed. In downtown Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. In Minnetonka, there's a Haskell's. There's one in Plymouth, St. Paul's Island Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver. And I will say au revoir from Burgundy.
Au revoir, Jack, and we'll talk next week from France. Thanks very much.
Goodbye. Thank you.
You bet.